speak to us through them. I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A young priest was being questioned by a search committee, and the chairman of the search committee asked him, do you know much about the Bible? And he said, well, I do know a lot about the Bible. And the chairman said, well, tell us something about the New Testament. And then he had a brainstorm. He said, wait a minute, why don't you tell us the story of the prodigal son? All right, said the young priest. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who went to Jericho by night. And he fell upon stony ground, and the thorns choked him half to death. The next morning, Solomon and his wife Gomorrah came by, and they took him down to the ark so that Moses could care for him. But as he was going through the eastern gate toward the ark, his hair was caught in a limb, and he hung there for 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry, and the ravens came and fed him. The next day, 3 wise men came and carried him down to the boat dock, where he caught a ship for Nineveh. And when he got there, he saw Delilah sitting on the wall. And Nicodemus said, throw her down off the wall. And the wise men said, how many times shall we throw her down? 7 times 7? Nicodemus replied, nay, but 70 times 7. And they threw her down 490 times. She burst asunder in their midst, and they picked up 12 baskets of fragments. My question is, whose wife is she in the resurrection? The chairman of the search committee said, you know, I think we ought to hire this young man as our next rector. I mean, he is awfully young, but he sure does know his Bible. You know, unfortunately, many Anglicans don't know their Bible all that well, even though our service is full of Scripture. Our liturgy is full of either quotations from or paraphrases from the Scriptures. We have readings, 4 readings each Sunday from the Scriptures. Our communion service is taken directly from Scripture. We are surrounded by Scripture, and yet there are so many Anglicans that really don't know all that much about the Bible. They know a lot about the prayer book, but not so much about the Bible. There was an Anglican that went to a Baptist church one time, and after the service, the Baptist asked him how he liked the service. And the Anglican said, well, it was just incredible how much of the prayer book the Bible quotes. We as Anglicans don't really know as much about the Bible as we should, and certainly there are some reasons for that. A couple of reasons are, one is that I think there are some people that don't really believe that the Bible is the Word of God, that it really is that which God has written to us, that is really God-breathed, as we read in one of the readings today. They don't believe that it really is something that applies to our life so much today. It was kind of an ancient document written by men and no longer really applicable for us today in large part. I mean, there are bits and pieces that can be helpful. So there are some that really just don't believe that it's the Word of God. There are others that kind of don't believe that they believe it's the Word of God. They believe that God has spoken, but they really don't want to read it because they're afraid if they do read it, they might have to pay attention to what it has to say and that God might be asking them to do something with their life that they don't really want to do. And so there might be a number of reasons why people don't read the Scriptures. Sometimes it may just be laziness. But whatever the case may be, we as Anglicans have been guilty in the past, perhaps of not dedicating ourselves enough to the reading of Holy Scripture. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. That's on page 1853. And we're going to read what Scripture is designed to do, what Scripture is supposed to do. And so he begins in chapter 3, verse 14, by saying, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Timothy had been exposed to the Scriptures all of his life. He'd been around them all of his life. But Paul is saying, you need to continue to pay attention to the Scriptures, to listen to what they are saying, because they're able to make you wise for salvation. The way we know how salvation is available to us is really through the pages of Scripture. We're told in the pages of Scripture that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. We wouldn't know that otherwise. And so the Scriptures are that which reveal Jesus to us and his plan of salvation. It goes on to say in verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The scripture is inspired by God. The scripture has been given to the authors of scripture by God himself. God inspired them to write what they have written. And he says that it's profitable for teaching. The scriptures are designed to teach us about God and about how we're to live our lives. It's also profitable for rebuking. Rebuking means to let us know when we've gotten off the track, when we've gotten into sin, when we begin to maybe believe the wrong way or act the wrong way or speak the wrong way. Scripture can help us to know when we've gotten off the track. And then for correcting, the scripture can correct us and help us to get back on the track, to help us to know how to act correctly, to believe correctly, to speak correctly, those sorts of things. And then finally, in training in righteousness. So the scriptures can help us to learn and to know how to live a righteous life. And the purpose of that is so that every person may be fully equipped for every good work that God wants us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, we're told that God has prepared good works for us to do. And so in order for us to do those good works, it's important for us to know and to be fully equipped to be able to do those good works by getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into us. And so, if you look at chapter 4, verse 3, it says, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. May I suggest that that time is already here, that people today are not putting up with sound doctrine. Now, by sound doctrine, the scripture means that which God has clearly spoken to us through the pages of scripture in the Old Testament and ultimately in the New Testament. So that the things that God has revealed to us in the pages of scripture are that which comprise sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is that which makes up the essential elements of the Christian faith. Now, there are other aspects of scripture that are not as clear, and so those are kind of secondary sort of issues. But the main issues, the main things in scripture that are clear are things that we are called to believe as Christians. And yet today, so many people are jettisoning those beliefs. They're no longer buying into what scripture clearly teaches. And in fact, they want to rewrite scripture. They want scripture to say things that it never intended to say, or that the church never understood it to say. And so they want to rewrite scripture and make that include things like morality as well. So we see people today trying to change the way we view sexuality or gender or abortion or things like that. All of these things are really people seeking to change the way that we believe in the essential elements of the Christian faith. And he goes on to say, instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. People are quick to glom on to the latest podcast, the latest video, the latest article on the internet. If it contradicts scripture, or if it gives some different teaching than we find in scripture, they want our views to kind of be in line with the way society views things today. They say, you know, scripture really is old-fashioned. We don't need to pay any attention to what they used to say about in scripture, but we need to modernize our way of believing things. But scripture really has been given to us, not just to those that were to which it was originally given, but also to all Christians for all times, because God's law never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so there's a time that's going to come, and is already here, where people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. We're in a society today that really wants to do away with Scripture. Oh, they want to keep the good, feel good parts of Scripture, maybe, but they want to do away with the other parts that really they don't tend to agree with. And so, unfortunately, the church in some corners has bought into that. And so the church is trying to adapt in some ways to the views of society today. And so Paul is warning against that. The Bible talks about a lot of different subjects. For example, in our gospel lesson today, it talks about the importance of perseverance in prayer, of praying constantly, of not giving up in prayer, but continuing to pray until we receive an answer to our prayers. And so he talks about it in the sense of the widow coming to the judge and kind of constantly asking him for justice. And the judge kind of says, well, she's going to wear me out if she keeps coming to me like this. But ultimately, we don't pray to God in order to try to wear him out or change his mind. We come to show God that we're serious in our prayers by offering our prayers about the things that we need in our lives. So I would encourage all of us to maybe rededicate ourselves, or maybe dedicate ourselves for the first time to the study of Scripture. Get involved in a Bible study. Start your own Bible study at home or with a group of other people. Get involved in other ways of learning about the Scriptures. And as you do, you'll find that you're not only are you being drawn closer to Christ, but you're going to find out more about who God is and about what He expects of us in our lives. I want to conclude with a prayer, partly from the prayer book and partly related to prayer today. So would you pray with me? Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may ever embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to learn from your word the importance of being persistent in prayer, so that your will is accomplished in our lives and in our world, and so that we may love and serve our Lord more completely. In the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.